The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Hey, welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. Is it Rossbridge Animal? I always get that wrong, don't I? Rossbridge Vet on Twitter or on X. What is your website again? Rossbridge Vet Hospital?
Rossbridgevet.com.
Okay, I get it right. Okay, good. Because I know sometimes why did you decide to put hospital in there? Because most veterinarians, it's just like a vet. Did you decide to go big boy? Like you're too big for us? Like, oh, this is a hospital now, or an animal hospital? Is that what you did?
Yeah, it sounds better.
It really does. It sounds like a place that you take an animal if it was really sick, which is right. But you also take animals there, like you don't go to the hospital for checkups, but you take your dog to a hospital for checkups. So were you a little concerned that perhaps people would get the wrong idea there?
No, I mean, I never liked the sound of clinic.
It sounds like something you go down town for.
Yeah, it sounds like it burns when you pee.
Yeah, exactly. Which it probably could, yeah.
But I mean, are we a 24-hour operating hospital? No, we're not. Yeah. But it's my business, and I can call it what I want.
That's right. That's right. No, I like Rossbridge Animal Hospital.
Yeah, because I mean, we are a hospital. We do hospitalized pets here.
Sure.
We do surgeries.
We see them when they're sick.
We see them when they're healthy.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of burn and pee, let's start right there. I'll throw a question out from Tony Curry here at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital Dark Side of the Pooch Show here with Dr. Rab Stewart. By the way, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in Homewood. Yes, Ed's Pet World is still open. They haven't decided what they're going to do with the place. So still go to Ed's for all your exotic pet needs. So get down there and check it out. They'd be more than happy to help you out with everything you got to go, including, of course, all your comics and unopened toys. They got stuff from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, all kinds of great comic books and everything else. Burn and pee. Do dogs and cats get venereal diseases?
Yeah.
How does that happen? Is it the same type of thing? Do they get gonorrhea, sexually transmitted diseases? What happens when they get it? How can you keep your dog from getting it? Will it kill them? Blah, 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 blah. You know, back in the old days, we were, a lot of our old our generals and our old presidents, and like they used to die of syphilis, right? Syphilis was a killer, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Did Napoleon have syphilis?
I think he did. Yeah. Yeah, there were some famous people that, those guys where they had just the floozies, the kings and stuff. A lot of kings died of sexually transmitted diseases, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
back then, do you think they called it a case of the floozies?
Oh, back then, and I'm trying to think, because syphilis was kind of like, it was like the measles, wasn't it? I mean, back in the old days in Parliament and stuff, I mean, it would knock out quite a bit of people, particularly soldiers, because you didn't have any protection and you were just grabbing it when you could, I guess. And so like armies were knocked out by syphilis, right?
What a miserable time to be alive.
Oh, my gosh. How bad would it be to be out there fighting for your country and you've got that going on at the same time? No one's going to probably kill you before a bullet does. That's horrible.
You think they ever called it crotch rot?
I don't know.
Back on track. All right. So they get something called a transmissible venereal tumor. So it is a sexually transmitted type of cancer. And when you see it, it is wicked. You can see it in males and females, but it's basically a tumor that grows out or from around the vaginal area in females and out from the penis in males.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's usually not fatal. You can remove them, but the problem with them is they don't really metastasize, but they can get so large and affect that, where they're urinating from, that it can make it where it's hard to urinate. Even if you surgically remove them, sometimes they'll their kind of exterior genitalia is altered. So it'll make it so that they still can't urinate. I've only had one. First of all, it's not super common, but I've only had one that died from it. And it wasn't because it was a malignant kind of metastasis. It died from it because it had grown so far, like up into the vaginal area. It wasn't really surgical anymore. I think we probably could have referred it to a specialist that had endoscopy and stuff like that. But the owner was just like, I'm not doing that. So that pet was euthanized basically from like financial constraints.
So if my dog end up getting this thing, how long does it take for it to grow into the point where, you know, you don't obviously go in for a VD test, right? I mean, you're not peeing in a cup like a human does. But I mean, when you go and you see this thing, I guess you see it on the outside of the penis or the vagina. Do you then try to cross section who your animal's been with? Because if it's a transmittable thing, I'm just asking, is it like humans? Like, okay, I know I've slept with this dog, this dog, and this dog. Do you go out and call their owners and say, listen, we may have an issue here? Or is that just something they figure out on their own? Can you get it from a tractor seat?
Most of the time there's no way of really knowing. You know, like these dogs are, you know, maybe were strays and adopted when they were 2 years old. And, you know, we don't worry about that.
Yeah. Okay. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Lucy in Birmingham is on Wegovy. She wants to know, when will we have late weight loss pills for dogs? It's a great question.
We used to, and it did not do well. It was a drug that was made by Pfizer, and it's called Selintrol, and it was a total flop. I don't know how much it cost. Pfizer is not in the animal world anymore. It was a total flop. I don't know how much it cost Pfizer, but I'm sure it cost them a good bit.
Why did it flop?
This was when I was first like coming out of vet school, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know. It's not anything that I ever had any experience with, but I know it was just from the history, you know, and like you come out of school and you hear of things that were somewhat recently developed. And I always heard stories about Selintrol and how it was just didn't work, and I don't know if there were side effects or what, but it didn't.
How did it work? Does it work like Wegovy does now? I'm sure it did not.
I'll be honest with you, I don't know how it worked. I have no clue.
That'd be interesting to see. Was it an appetite suppressant, or did it just? I mean, because dogs don't fill up, right? Dogs will eat themselves to death. Correct.
Well, I mean, they can be satisfied with food, but I think a lot of them are. They're just so food motivated. And I think some of them may not even realize that they're going to get fed again because they're just, their mental capacity is not, you know, super strong. Mm-mm. So, I mean, they get satisfied, but some dogs will eat themselves to death, and I don't know why.
Yeah. That's kind of strange. And again, it's funny you mentioned that because the feeding of my dog, of Rainer, who's right behind us right now, I just took him on a long, but I've been taking him on a walk every day, and it's just changed the dog. I mean, he's so good. I mean, he's so good. I mean, I can't stress to people enough. You're like, well, I don't have time for a walk. It takes you 20 minutes to walk a mile, you know, if you're walking 3 miles an hour, which is not fast. Go walk for 40 minutes and you're going to lose weight. Your pet's going to love you for it. I'm just telling you, your pet's, you're talking 40 minutes a day. You take 40 minutes out of your schedule, you can figure it out. It's just, I cannot tell you how much better my dog is since I've been walking him every day. Anyway, I feed him in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up, and then I feed him again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And many times he won't eat his breakfast. And you know why? Because he won't eat his breakfast unless I'm eating my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So when
my dog's that way too.
When he sees me grab a Pop Tart, then he'll go in the kitchen. He'll sit there and wait for me. And then as soon as I eat my Pop Tart, he'll run in the kitchen and he'll eat. And then he'll come back in the other. And when my kids aren't here, I don't ever eat in the kitchen because we don't eat as a family because I'm alone. And so he doesn't know what to do. So I'll have to go. I'll tell him it's okay. Go eat, and I'll walk him into the kitchen, show him his bowl. He'll eat, and then I'll go in the other room, and then he'll eat, and then he'll go out. But yeah. It's pretty
much so. Let me. Wegovy and Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that they were originally made for diabetes.
They were,
and so cats now have a new medication called Synvelgo,
mm-hmm.
and it is very. I believe I don't know a lot about Ozempic, but I do believe it is very similar to Ozempic. But we do not use it for weight loss in cats. We actually use it for what it's made for, which is to control diabetes.
It's amazing too. When you talk about the tens of 15s, 20s years that they, and everyone's like, why are these things so expensive? They spend billions of dollars with hundreds of scientists to do these things. And it's so funny because the blue pill wasn't made as an ED, erectile dysfunction drug either. And then all of a sudden you pay dirt, you get something and it actually does this as well. So, and I'm hearing
that was made for pulmonary hypertension, but Ozempic and Cinvelgo are just, they're different than traditional diabetic drugs. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it's not, you have to check more for ketone production than you do hyperglycemia, because it's a medication that just works a different way than traditional insulin.
What is ketone?
But yeah, ketones are a byproduct of metabolism in your body.
Okay. I've heard it a lot lately. I've heard that term used a lot lately, and I don't know why.
Yeah. So ketones are made in the animal world, they're made when animals start to break down they start to break down their own body when they don't have the nutrients that they need. So ketones are, they're found a lot in uncontrolled diabetes. It's called ketoacidosis. So the body is not being satisfied because, the pancreas isn't working. So all the glucose stays in the blood. So the body's not getting any nutrients. So then the body starts breaking down its own tissue, and that metabolism creates ketones. And when you have a lot of ketones in your body, that upsets the acid base in your balance in your body, the acid base balance in your body, and you become acidotic. So you're ketoacidotic. And so when an animal gets ketoacidotic, it's very, very bad. And I'm sure it's very, very bad when a person gets it, and it can lead to death. So these newer, like Cinvelgo, you have to measure the ketones in the body, because they will not be hyperglycemic anymore, because they get rid of that. They start to get rid of the glucose through the urine more. So you cannot measure hyperglycemia. And so that in some ways can be very dangerous, because if their blood sugar is not controlled, that's how you know if it's not controlled traditionally, is by checking the blood sugar. Well, now you have to check ketones.
Yeah.
So.
You're a smart guy, man. I've learned a lot about you just listening to you talk. I'm getting kind of turned on. 30% of Americans are obese. What would you say is a percentage of our dogs? I'm not going to count cats because cats are always moving around. I don't see fat cats. I mean, I see fat cats, but I really don't care. How many dogs?
I think it's probably higher.
Do you really believe that? Because we always had overweight dogs growing up. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that we threw out scraps, whatever we had left in the kitchen table. And I'm sure it probably saved us in dog food. But whatever we had left, my mom would put it in a bowl and put it outside, and the dog would get after it. I mean, he had a nice meal every single night. And you know, we were always battling obesity with him. We could get him to lose some weight, but we had to walk. And my brother was the only one that would walk the dog. No one else would walk the dog. We had wide open spaces, so we just let him out, and he'd just run. He'd come back 6 or 7 hours later, and we'd see him, and he'd book him in the house. But I mean, what are you seeing in our pet population as far as an obesity? Are we heading in the right direction? I don't see fat dogs anymore. Is that just me, or is it still out there?
No, it's still out there. But I think it depends. I think it takes dogs longer to get obese. But a lot of dogs, when they, you know, get to kind of past middle age,
what would you say? I don't mean to interrupt, but I'll forget metabolism. I know. We start losing our metabolism around 40, 45, 50. You men out there, as soon as you turn 50, something happens to your body. Everything just starts to fall. You start getting man boobs. You can't figure it out. I mean, everything starts feeling weird. What is it for dogs? I mean, we know that.
It depends, because there's so much variation in animals. You know, you can have a 4-pound dog, or you can have a 200-pound dog.
Yeah.
So larger dogs, their metabolism is going to slow down sooner. You know, I mean, if you're a really large dog, their metabolism might start slowing down when they're 5. But if you're a small dog, it might not happen until you're 10. So it's just, there's too much variation to really say where it is like people. Like, okay, well, this is going to start happening when you're 40. This is going to start happening when you're 50.
Yeah.
Can't really do that in dogs or cats.
I gotcha. It's interesting too, because Rainer is 9 now. We got him when he was a year old. I thought he was 8, but my son's like, no, he just turned 9 in January. And I had that moment with him where I kind of looked at him and I could see just a tinge of oldness coming out of him. I it's hard to describe. Maybe you as a veterinarian, you can kind of tell with your own dogs, where he just kind of looked over at me and I could tell like he had just entered his second phase of life or something. He's still getting after it. He still likes to run and stuff, but he just, maybe it's because he's a better dog now and he seems wiser to me. And when you think of wiser dogs, you think of older dogs. I don't know. Pete wants to know, in Newport, Kentucky, wants to know what causes blindness in dogs and how can we help?
Probably the most common thing that causes blindness is cataract formation, and cataracts can be removed surgically. But they can also have retinal problems. Age related changes. That's something that you can't really do anything about. Dogs' vision will get worse as they get older. But the other thing is high blood pressure will lead to retinal detachment. So they can have retinal problems. They can have certain types of infections. Certain types of fungal infections will cause blindness. There's lots of different, just age-related changes of the eye, like cataracts, just the eye muscles wearing out, just like ours do. Infectious things, autoimmune things. So there's a bunch of different reasons.
Is it possible for a dog to retain its good eyesight its entire life?
Sure.
It seems like every old dog I see has got eye problems. Well, but every old person I see has eye problems too.
Yeah. It's possible to have a dog go, its whole life without going blind. Sure.
Yeah. All right. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Rab Stewart, 208-0301 has been kind enough to do a podcast with us this week. He's super, super busy, but check him out at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. They're fantastic. And of course, if you're wanting to do any boarding or anything for the holidays coming up, Labor Day, Memorial Day, holidays, whatever, man, call them because they fill up really, really quick. And I know that by experience here. Jenny wants to know, is it possible for a dog to nurse a kitten and or vice versa? I guess maybe if you have a dog, that has been left a group of kittens, the mother gets hit by a car, the mother's gone and the dog's also pregnant. I guess she's wanting to know if kittens can eat the milk of a dog and can a dog drink the milk of a cat, I guess. Or have you ever seen a cat try to nurse off a nipple's a nipple, right? A teat's a teat.
Yeah, but they're not going to produce milk most females are spayed. So that you're not going to be able to put a kitten on a spayed animal and get milk production. The other thing is that there are certain animals, and this isn't a big deal, but let's say you had a lactating dog. Mm-hmm. Sure, it could nurse a kitten. There's nothing, as long as the dog would accept it. It would be fine. I don't think that it would get antibodies from the dog that may not be important for cats to get against certain viruses that only affect cats. But as far as like nutrition, sure.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen that.
Well, you see these stories where the boy
short answer, no.
The boy gets lost in the woods, and he grows up with wolves, right? He turns into a wolf boy.
Right. Sure. But go nurse the wolf boy, see how that works out for you.
Yeah. There's a really interesting article in the Daily Mail. You ever reach the Daily Mail? It's really funny. It's usually one of the last sites I go to because it's usually got the craziest stories on here.
Tony, I sometimes don't eat 3 meals a day, so no, I do not go to
daily. Yeah, and so I was pulling up, I always do a little prep here before the show. Actually, I do a lot of prep for the show because we've done this show. The dogs that shot their owners, extraordinary times pets have opened fire and on some tragic occasions killed their masters.
I've heard of this.
Canines killing their owners on hunting trips. We've gotten that a lot. Russian man shot by dog from the back of his car. Pitbull shoots owner after jumping on the bed.
I've heard one recently that had to do with the man and woman were in bed and I think they had just finished their ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog like gets in the bed and somehow accidentally shoots the male owner. Jeez, but my question, my main question to that is, you know, why do you have a gun in the bed?
Yeah, role play.
Yeah.
Rottweiler.
Good cop, back up.
Yeah. Rottweiler mix leaves man with gaping hole in his ribs. Hunter found dead after pet stood on run rifle. Man forgives dog for blasting off his hand. Man shot by his pet after dog steps in the rifle's trigger. First of all, have you ever seen such a thing? Have you ever had a situation where a pet, one of your customers' pets, well, not said shoot their owner, but have they ever harmed their owner? Have they ever hurt their owner? Have you ever had someone had, I would imagine you've had probably a mastiff step on some dude's junk sometime. Maybe he's laying in bed and the dog jumps up in bed and just hammers down or something. Have you ever had a situation where you've had one of your customers get hurt by their animals for whatever reason?
Not outside of being bitten, that they've ever told me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any like terrific stories, you know, about, I don't know, getting shot at or getting punched in the genitals or, yeah, you know, unfortunately nothing like that. But I mean, owners get bitten all the time. They've been bitten in my office before.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we try to tell people to, you know, sit down, relax, let us handle, you know, everything that we need to handle. But from time to time, they'll still be in the dog's face when we're trying to do something. And, you know, the dog's just going to bite the first thing that it sees. I've had another interesting injury. I will never forget this.
Okay.
There was a little kid in my office one day, and he was very inquisitive. And like, I don't know if he, you know, I don't know what his mental state was. He was very inquisitive, very, very in our space when we're trying to work on his dog.
Yeah.
And the dog was just here for routine vaccines as a puppy. And so I had just uncapped the vaccine to give to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's like flailing his arms and just going wild. And I had the vaccine in my hand.
Oh no.
I had just taken the needle off and I was about to give it to the dog. And the kid just grabs the needle, just boop.
Oh my gosh.
it was like you touch a hot stove and you're like, ow. Well, the kid was like, it was so surprised.
Did he back off? It probably taught him a lesson, huh?
Yeah, he was so surprised that this needle went like all the way to the hub of the needle in his hand. He was like, ah! I was like, what'd you think it was?
And the kid still had heartworms. That's amazing. What was the vaccine? Was it just a vaccination for?
I don't remember. You know, just a standard vaccine for a dog. I don't remember which one it was.
That's hilarious. Well, sometimes kids have to learn the hard way, man.
They do.
That's true. That's crazy. Anything interesting? I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Anything else interesting? Any cool dogs eating condoms or anybody, you know, getting hurt or any weird stories that you want to share with me? What is that? What in the hell is that? What is that? Is that a cat?
It's a cat.
Is that a real cat?
No, it's a toy. It's a toy cat.
Golly, I was going to say that. Okay, it's a toy cat. Okay, why do you have a toy cat with a glove on?
So we took that out of a dog. Do you remember the last time that we did a show? We were in surgery with a cat.
Yeah, right? Yeah. How's that cat doing?
It had like a little plastic ball in its stomach that Dr. Johnson got out of there. So that cat's doing.
So it's an actual fine. Plastic. It was an actual
plastic ball.
Okay.
Yeah. A little plastic ball.
Okay. Good. Good for that cat. Good.
But yeah, this, I can't, I'm not going to be able to find the x-rays in time. Maybe next week I can pull them up and I can show them. So that'll give some little cliffhanger, but you could see, so this dog came in a puppy. He came in and the owner saw him eat this cat toy. And we tried to get the pet to throw it up. We gave it something to try to induce vomiting. It would not vomit. So we took an x-ray. And you could see, I mean, it was incredible because a lot of times you cannot see a foreign body on an x-ray, especially if it's like clothing. It just blends in with the GI tract. There's a lot of things that they can eat that just blends in. You never see it. But on that x-ray, it's incredible. I'm going to pull it up next week. I'm going to have it pulled up and I'm going to show you.
Did it look like the animal was having babies?
No, but it looks like that cat toy.
Really?
Like knowing now what the cat toy looks like and looking back at that x-ray, it's incredible.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
We knew that, half the battle is knowing if the dog or cat swallowed something or not.
Yeah.
And in this case, we did know that it did. We knew that it did. And we knew that we could see it and it was still in the stomach. So the owner had two options. We could take it to surgery and make an abdominal incision, make an incision in the stomach, take it out, sew everything up. The dog would have been fine.
Yeah.
Or we could have referred it for endoscopy. So anyone that's had a colonoscopy, that's endoscopy. You know, you have a camera on a really long, flexible tube. Mm-hmm. And so put that down in the stomach and they could... They could see the cat toy when they did that, and they used a little net. You put it through the endoscopy arm, and then you just hook it around that cat, and they were able to pull it out.
So where you pulled out of the stomach or put out of the mouth? Yeah.
So they go down the mouth, down the esophagus, through the cardia of the stomach, and then they lasso it and pull it out of the stomach up through the esophagus out the mouth.
That looks like a pretty big toy too.
It was. I mean, you know, it was. And the dog is it's a bigger. It's going to be a big dog. It's a golden retriever, but right now it only weighs like 25 pounds.
Wow, that dog had to be happy when that thing came out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of strange. All right. Tell people how they can find you, my man. I love having you on. Thank you for all you do. Tell people how they can find you.
Call us 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, or you can email us rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. We're also rossbridgevet.com.
Next time we talk, it's going to be April. Isn't that crazy?
My birthday month.
Oh, it is. When's your birthday? April what?
April 8th.
I'll write that down so I can be ready. That's coming up 2 weeks from Tuesday. All right, cool. All right, my man. Hey, I love you. I appreciate all you do. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, buddy.
All right, love you too. There he is, Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by, of course, the wonderful folks at Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in beautiful Homewood. They've been open up a little over a year now, and they are killing it in the comics in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. All kinds of unboxed things, everything from Star Trek, Star Wars, Legos, you name it, cards, all kinds of wonderful stuff. Check out the Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They'll take care of you. And also, of course, Ed's Pet World down there. Still open in beautiful Homewood now in their 50th year. Thank you, sir.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.